Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 to 25. This is the Word of God. Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. The news about him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Large crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Amen. Please be seated. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you would bless us, that you would work in us to hear your word and understand and believe, and that you will give us desire to obey, to bring glory and honor to you. Let us obey to witness that indeed your kingdom has come, and that you are our King, and we are your people who obey you. Bless us, God, and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verse 23, Jesus was going throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness among the people. Last Lord's Day, we have seen how our Lord and King, Jesus Christ, brings his kingdom and gathers the citizens of his kingdom. Today in our passage, we see that kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, furthering, growing, and expanding. The stronger one has come and bound the strong one, and the stronger one is winning and winning. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28 through 29, Jesus says, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house." Yes, the stronger one, our Lord Jesus Christ, came and he bound the strong man, the Satan, and the plundering begins. His people are saved out from the bondage of Satan, and the kingdom of heaven is growing and growing. The king of that kingdom is victorious. And that is what we see in our passage. Jesus' public ministry is described here as teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing and casting out demons. The teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Even healing and casting out demons are also tied to this proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. We usually say things like, we need to go out and spread the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. Now, according to our verse, what kind of gospel are we to go out and spread? The Bible says the gospel of the kingdom. Now, what kind of kingdom? Of course, heavenly kingdom. The eternal kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of this world. The gospel of heaven. Thus, the gospel is not about health and wealth of this world. It was never that. He came, Jesus came to give us the other world. He came to give us heaven, not this world. This world will be destroyed by Him. From chapter 5, verse 1, we read what is called the Beatitudes. It's the little section of this whole thing, chapter 5, 6, and 7, we call the Sermon on the Mount. The first beatitude, chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The last one, chapter 5, verse 10, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus came to give us the kingdom of heaven. And we're going to look at this big section, chapters 5 through 7. And I told you that we call this section the Sermon on the Mount. And we see in it the contents of the gospel of the kingdom. Well, the whole Bible is the gospel of the kingdom. And here in chapter 4, verse 23, we learn that Jesus is teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Now, do we expect in chapter 5, when Jesus sits down on the mountain to teach, that He would teach anything other than the gospel of the kingdom? No, we would not expect that. So when we get to that section, we must understand the Sermon on the Mount as such, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. The whole Bible is the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus heals many and cast out demons. Verse 24, the news about Him spread throughout all Syria, and they brought Him all who were ill, those suffering with various diseases and pains, demoniacs, epileptics, paralytics, and He healed them. Jesus performs many miracles. And we need to understand what Jesus is doing when He performs these miracles. Since there are so many wrong teachings on miracles, I thought we must look at this topic in more detail. And that is what today's sermon is about. First of all, Jesus does not perform miracles just to gather more people. In fact, the book of Mark tells us that when Jesus performed many miracles, many people have come and followed Jesus, but Jesus went away from them to other places. So obviously it is not just to gather more people that he performs these miracles. We must keep that in mind as we look at this topic in more detail. And I want you to understand something from the very beginning. The miracles that are recorded in the Bible are themselves the revelation of God. They reveal God. God teaches through them. Mark chapter 1 verse 27 says, they were all amazed, so that they debated among themselves, saying, what is this, a new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. So they see Jesus casting out demons, and they say, a new teaching with authority. A new teaching. What does this new teaching teach then? These miracles are teaching. Then what do they teach? The answer is, again, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. What are the purposes of miracles in the Bible? We could at least say three things. Miracles, they authenticate the one who performs them as the one who is sent by God. Somebody comes and claims that he's from God. How do we know he performs the true miracles? That's how we used to know. Second, these miracles, they authenticate the words that are brought by the one who performs them as the word of God. Well, if they are sent by God, then the message they bring is from God. So that you are assured of what the message that he brings is God's word. And these miracles, they witness the reality of heaven. John chapter 5 verse 36, Jesus says, but the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. For the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do, those miracles, testify about me that the Father has sent me. If you do not believe that I am sent by the Father, then just look at what I do. Those things that I do testify that I am from God the Father, Jesus says. Acts chapter 2 verse 22, men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. Jesus the man attested to you by God with miracles. So you get that idea. The purpose of miracle is to authenticate the man who performs it, that he is truly from God. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 3b through 4, after it was at the first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. So they heard and they proclaimed the gospel, these people, God also testifying with them, both by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. So again, the same idea. That these people who brought the Word of God, how do we know that they are from God and the Word that they bring is God's Word? God testifies to us by their miracles that they perform. For Jesus Christ, the miracles that He performs also witness that He is the Messiah. Isaiah 35 verse 5 to 6, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ear of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. When the Messiah comes, He will perform these miracles. And the Messiah has come. And He does perform all these miracles. That was the content that we see in Matthew 11. If you go to there, John the Baptist is in prison in chapter 11 of Matthew. And he, as you know, just like any other disciples of God, Jesus Christ, they misunderstood the gospel. They understood it only in terms of this world. So John the Baptist, looking at himself in jail, and it puzzles him. He's saying to himself, if Jesus is the Messiah, if He is the one, and He brings His kingdom, then why am I in a jail? That's his reasoning. So, verse 2, now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? And what does Jesus say? Verse 4, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. So, Jesus performs these miracles and proves that He's the Messiah. Satan only mimics God, but cannot perform true miracles. He is the father of lies. He is the deceiver. During the 10 plagues of Egypt, Moses performed many miracles, the staff becoming a snake, the Nile becoming blood, the frogs filled the land. All of these miracles, the magicians of Egypt were able to deceive. But when it came to the plague of lice, they were not able to deceive. And they said, this is the finger of God. All the miracles in the Bible are themselves revelation of God. And all of you already know and believe that the revelation of God has ceased. Thus, the biblical miracles are also ceased. The Bible is the complete revelation of God. Thus, there is no more revelation apart from the Bible. When we look at the redemptive history of God, we do not see miracles happening all the time. Time of Adam. Do you see any miracles when you read about Adam? Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, Solomon. We do not see miracles in their time. Even though Abraham is the father of faith, and yet you don't really see miracles in his time. Then, where do we see the concentration of miracles? Time of Moses and Joshua. Many miracles happened. Elijah and Elisha. Many miracles happened. And Jesus and his disciples. Many miracles happened. Moses, the prophets, and disciples. Some of you already got it. Moses, prophets, and disciples. In their time, miracles happen. Who are these guys? Moses, prophet, and disciples. They are the ones who write the scriptures. They are the ones who write the Bible. Do you remember the purpose of miracle? They authenticate the one who performs a miracle as the one who is sent by God. If they were to write the Bible, if they were to write the Word of God, of course they need to be authenticated. And the miracles they perform, they do that. Remember the second purpose? They authenticate the words that are brought by the one who performs them as the Word of God. So, these people who write the Bible, they perform miracles because they are writing the Word of God. But now the Bible is complete. And there is no more need of miracles. Nobody is going to write more Bible. Now, today, if we want to know whether a preacher is bringing God's word or not, you check him against the Bible. I claim here to bring God's word to you. Do I need to perform miracles to prove that what I say is God's word? No. You have the completed word of God. Thus, you are able to check what I say with the Bible. The miracles that you read about in the Bible testify that the Bible is Word of God. They authenticate it. The miracles that you read in the Bible, they have authenticated the authors who wrote the Bible. By bringing the Word of God from the Bible, I do not need to perform miracles because those words that I bring, if they are truly from the Bible, then they have been already proven by the miracles that the person who wrote them has already performed. Paul wrote scriptures. And these scriptures that Paul wrote has been already proven to be God's word because Paul performed all those miracles to prove that he is from God. So when I preach what Paul has written, I don't need to perform miracles again. Because it has already proven. And even witnessing the reality of heaven is also by the Bible, no longer by miracles. Heaven has already come. If you think about it, miracles are not truly heavenly things, eternal things, even though they point to them. Miracle happens only for a short time, and it is something that you are able to see in this world. So it's not truly heavenly things, even though those miracles actually point to heavenly things. God no longer expresses the reality of heaven with the earthly things like in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, God used to express heavenly things with the worldly things. And your faith and your sanctification are by the word of God, not by miracles, not by your experiences. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, it's by hearing the word of God that your faith will grow. John 17:17, Jesus prays for us and he says, sanctify them by the word, by the truth. Nowhere in the Bible it says that your faith will grow by your experience. The miracles that you might see. Actually, is what we see in the Bible is the opposite. Look at the Old Testament people. They saw miracles every single day. And yet their faith never grew. They rejected God. Does this mean that God does not heal today? No, it does not mean that. God does heal today. Yes, even today, God heals. But when that happens today, it is not a biblical miracle. It is not a revelation of God. It is what we call God's providence. And if you want to call it God's extraordinary providence, that's fine. God no longer works through a specific person to do that. But God still heals. Even when I take medicine, isn't it God who heals? It was God who caused men to even come with those medicines. So, my illness has healed through medicine, and somebody claimed that he was healed by miracle. What's the difference? God heals. He healed me and he healed him. But just like sinners, we want everything to be this world. We want to see, we want to touch, we want to have it right here, right now, so that we could boast. so that we could say, I'm better than you. Do you think God's special providence make your faith grow? So when you see a person who says that he was healed of cancer, you hear that and you think your faith will grow? Is that what Bible teaches? You know, I give this example a lot, but you know, we have to make a point. You hear a person who says that he has a cancer, he had a cancer, but God has healed him. And he says things like this to you. He says, through that experience, I realize how much God loves me. He says, through that experience, I finally know now how much God loves me. And you say, you nod your head going, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Does it? See, I don't have that kind of experience. But I have the Bible. And when I read the Bible, it tells me that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the God Himself, has died on that cross for me. And I don't have any doubt when it comes to how much God loves me. Are you telling me that your experience, even though it is great as this healing of a cancer, that will tell me more of how much God loves me than the cross of Jesus Christ that I read about in the Bible? Is that what that person is telling me? I feel sorry for that person. Because even though he has the Bible, he didn't know how much God loved him until that experience. And he thinks that that experience actually teaches more of God's love than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ that we read in the Bible. Do you really believe that? Understand, brothers and sisters. That's why, you know, I don't want to make, you know, fun of these people, but I try to make point. And you know, when he says things like that, and I say, I was dead, but now I'm alive. You had a cancer, but you're healed. But I was dead, but now I'm alive. I was blind, but now I see. Person is not impressed. But the Bible tells me that those are my experience. The Bible tells me that actually happened to me. I was dead, but now I'm alive. But people are not impressed. But I was healed of cancer, and they go, ooh, they're all impressed. Which is greater? Christians sometimes are so ignorant. And when they hear these things, you know, I have healed of cancer, they go, oh man, how come I don't have that kind of experience? And they have this in their heart, this complaining towards God. How come I do not have those experiences? Well, brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you that this book says you have greater experiences than you could even imagine. You know what really happened to you? This book tells you. And what we read in this book is more greater than any experience of whatever that you hear out there. You don't have to envy those people, because God's blessing has come upon you. Greater blessings. It is not by experience, but by the word of God. Miracles doesn't help you, even if it happens today. But it doesn't happen. The word of God, the revelation of God, the teaching of God, this is what you need. Old Testament people who experienced many miracles, even disciples, you know, followed Jesus for 3 years, saw all those miracles that Jesus performed. What happens to them? Did their faith grow? It is not by God's design. His design is that you will grow through the Word, the completed revelation of God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We have the Bible, brothers and sisters. We do not need anything else. As far as our religion is concerned, you do not need anything else, because you have the perfect revelation of God in your hands. And it will tell you the amazing things that happen to you. Truly amazing. Complete revelation of God. You even have more revelation of God than Paul had when he lived. He didn't have all 66 books of the Bible, but you do. I have it. When the perfect comes, you don't need earthly things. When heaven came, you don't need earthly things. Don't go back to the Old Testament. Don't go back to a period where the Bible was not completed. Again, we're not saying God does not heal, God does not do things that we cannot explain. Yeah, God does, but He just does it. It's not miracles. It's not by one specific person. God just does it. So don't go to those people who claim that somehow their hand has some kind of power and you want to put your head under it. For what? I don't know. But don't be deceived. Well, in OPC, we don't have to worry about these things. Well, that's not really true. You know, we always have to be alert. But in Korean context, this is just crazy out there. Well, here in our passage, by healing and casting out demons, Jesus witnesses that the kingdom of heaven has come. Heaven is a place where there is no sickness, no demons. Here in our passage, the reality of that glorious place is being witnessed. Sicknesses are a result of sin. And in the Old Testament, God's judgments are sometimes described as various sicknesses and illnesses. So here we see in Jesus Christ, God's judgment is now turned to His grace and blessings. He comes and heals and drives out demons. In Mark, we see the same thing. And there, when Jesus cast out demons, even demons know who Jesus is and why He came. Mark chapter 1, verse 24. Demon, as they come out from this person, they say, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8b, the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. The sickness came into the world because of sin. And what do we see here? Jesus came to save his people from that. Mark chapter 1, verse 25, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." Jesus is in fact saying, "He is my son, come out. I will live in him now." Can a true Christian be possessed by demons? Another question will be, can the Holy Spirit co-dwell with the demons in one person? No. It is so amazing to me that some churches, they drive out demons from their own members. When they received that person as their member, they were saying he was Christian, but now demon has entered. Ay, ay, ay. Actually, who are demon possessed? Who are demon possessed? You all know who? See, we're so used to Hollywood movies. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of... Chapter 2, I'm sorry. Even as I'm reading, I'm like, wait a minute, that's not right. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you were formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Ah, evil spirits are working in what? In non-Christians. Who are demon-possessed? All non-Christians are demon-possessed, according to the Bible. But no, see, we have to understand it like those Hollywood style, right? You have to have all this foam in your mouth and you have to go crazy. Then we say, oh, demon possessed. No, Bible says all non-Christians are demon possessed. Just like all Christians are Holy Spirit possessed. That's what the Bible teach. You are possessed by the Holy Spirit. Do not be deceived. Do you understand that even Christ and Heaven OPC, we cast out demons? But you will never see it. Non-Christian who will come to our church, who's in there? Well, evil spirit. Not Holy Spirit. And the word is preached. And Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, comes over to that person, drives out that demon, and now the Holy Spirit lives in that person, and he's Christian. It happens today. Just because you don't see it, you don't think it's exciting. If you really see it, like in Hollywood movie, you will be like, whoa! But it actually happens, even today, in churches like ours. You should be very excited. Exorcism. Again, exorcism, not according to movies. See, this is the what's wrong. See, when you mention one word and you have all these things that is connected to it already. Not biblical. Yeah. Now you could go tell your friends that your pastor casts out demons. Well, it's true. It's when you see it like those Hollywood movies and all that kind of stuff, that's fake. The physical sicknesses that we see in the Bible often points to the spiritual sicknesses. So I want you to see in our text, our passage, that when you see this, all these physical illnesses, but in the Bible, even from the Old Testament, these physical illnesses are pictures of spiritual illnesses. For example, a blind points to the spiritual blindness. Thus, our passage then is, once again, your story and my story. I want you to see this. You were sick. You were possessed by demons. But Christ came to you and healed you. He healed you. To you, the health of heaven, the eternal health of heaven has been given. Heaven is a place where there is no pain, no sickness, no curse, no demons. You have become the citizens of that glorious place. As far as your spirit is concerned, you will never be sick again. Because Jesus has healed you. You will never die again. And when your and my Lord Jesus Christ comes back, our bodies, our physical bodies will also be perfectly healthy, eternally healthy, and will never be sick again. Jesus has already accomplished that reality for you. Listen to what John says about the heaven. Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and new earth. And you go down to verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. Brothers and sisters, remember then how this heavenly health has been given to you. Let's look at Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Verse 16. When evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. And listen to this, verse 17. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 53. And look at how Matthew translates it. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now, in your translation, when you go to Isaiah 53, you're not going to have those words. But this is how Matthew translates it. When he died on that cross, he took your, what? Diseases. And he carried your sicknesses. That's what Matthew says. He died bearing our sicknesses and bearing our diseases. But He was resurrected to perfect health with a glorious body. Now you have that health that Jesus Christ has. And that is what we see in our passage. Look what Jesus has done for you. What He is doing for you. He healed you. You are no longer sick. You are no longer demon-possessed. Since we don't have time, I'm just going to mention this. Defeating Satan. Remember, water is the realm of Satan. So defeating Satan can be connected to the dividing the waters. So thus we see as God casting out demons and healing these people, God is defeating Satan, his work. Thus He is dividing the water. Thus you see the new creation. Well, you already know that, so. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have been healed. Demons that were in you have been cast out. Thus, until He comes, because we already have the health of heaven in Jesus Christ, as we live our lives here on earth, whether we have health in this world or not, whether we live or die, just like what Philippians 1:20 and 21 says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For you and for me, whether you are healthy or not, to live is Christ. And even if we die because of our sicknesses, it's gain. Gain of eternal health. Gain. Gaining the perfect health of heaven. And we will never be sick again. That is what Jesus is teaching through these miracles. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. No longer sickness is Your curse. No longer the weakness in this world is Your curse. Oh Father, we thank You that Your Son, when He died on that cross, He carried our diseases. He bore our sicknesses. And He died with them. But resurrected 3 days later with the perfect health of heaven to give us that same health. And we thank You that our spirits are already enjoying that health. No matter what happens, even if our body gets sick and decay, our spirits will never be sick again. But even that body will be perfectly healthy when Jesus comes back, when we are resurrected from the dead to meet our Lord who is already resurrected from the dead. We thank You, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.